that I die legend. I'm great, just protecting my investment. Ask about me, integrity, not a question. Straight up, all the way up. Same boys that was down from the jump. Day boys, same boys been around when they ain't. Changed up like they break ones. Go on, you can charge it to the game. I'm all up in the photos, looking largest in the frames. Hey, keep high movement, I'm getting to the bag. But the amount of work requires not a price you wanna pay.
Whoa, let's go now,
what makes you hustle? And what I mean when I say hustle is, what is it that gets you so motivated to obtain your goal that you move with a force that seems unstoppable? You are so focused on the specific achievement that you recognize what might get in your way and you prepare yourself to defend against those things just so you can stay focused at completing the task at hand. I've learned that part of being a parent is analyzing and then using to your advantage what drives your children to reach their goals, or maybe the goals you have set for them. Come on, guys, we all do it. I have a almost 10-year-old daughter named Nora. We have a 5-year-old son named Levi. But they are two pretty unmotivated kids when it comes to hustling to complete a task or to leave to go somewhere. They come by it honestly, though. My husband, John, and I, we're not hustlers. There's very little that will motivate us to pick up the pace when it comes to almost anything. Don't ask me about my laundry or any house projects that we start. We like to take our time and we're easily distracted people, so we get it. We also need them to move it sometimes too. We gotta leave. They're great kids with great personalities, love them so much, but when it's when we need to make that transition from place to place in a specific amount of time, they seem to compete for the title of last kid out the door. Nora suddenly needs to find her Stanley Cup and two more things that she has to bring with her, and Levi needs to make sure that every rock in his rock collection is exactly where he wants it to be before we can leave the house. And if you know my son, he has a big rock collection. If you see him looking at the rocks out here by the church, please tell him, Mom said no more. We're done. After all of that settled, though, then they're okay to leave the house. And I found that the older they're getting, the harder it is to motivate them to get out of bed, finish chores, leave the house. But I have found that my kids do have something that will motivate them to hustle. And that something is the threat to lose their screen time. Have this love-hate relationship with screen time, right? We have so much time in the day that I want them to be on screens. Like, I just need to get something done for an hour. And then it kind of turns into 2 hours. And, we try to cut it short, but let's be honest, it just happens. But for every minute past their allotted amount of time to have something done or to leave for somewhere that they are just kind of dawdling or not picking up the pace, they lose a minute of that screen time. And so we're trying to implement that. And just recently, we're trying to leave a store, and Levi decided, I'm not ready to leave yet. I don't want to go yet, but we got to go. And there was a meltdown. And guys, at this point, it's embarrassing, but I'm past the point of it being super embarrassing anymore. So I just don't dwell on it and just calmly walked over to him, knelt down to him in the store as he's on the ground, and just whispered, screen time. Never did he get up so quickly to get to the door. What motivates you to hustle? In this series, we're looking at some different people who hustled to get what Jesus had for them and realize that extra effort is needed when it comes to what Jesus has for us. Simply put, we need to hustle. Today, our goal is to ask and answer this question: how do I not get stuck with worry? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, and for focus to your life, I've got good news. There is hope found in Jesus, and at the end of this message today, I will give you an opportunity to receive that hope. If you go ahead and open up your Bibles or your Bible apps to Mark chapter 5, we'll read from the New Living Translation. And if you have not downloaded the Bible app into your phone yet, it is the best app that you could have in your phone. So I encourage you, go look it up in your Apple or Android store, download it for free. You want the Bible in your back pocket anytime you would want to get into the Word of God. Come on. So here Jesus is in the middle of his ministry, teaching people, healing people, and helping people. He's built up this reputation as a miracle worker. In this passage, he's just getting out of a boat to begin ministering again after setting free a demon-possessed man on the other side of this lake that he's by. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 says, Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying. He said, please come and lay your hands on her, heal her so she can live. Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around them. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this message on worry and on hope today. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we are getting ready to unpack your word for us. Open our minds, our hearts, and spirits to receive what you have for us. And have all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is it that makes you worry? Who in here has ever worried about something? If you are not raising your hand, you're lying in church. Okay. Whether it's finances or health or your marriage, decisions that you've made in life or decisions that your kids are making in life, we've all worried about something. Worry is defined as a natural response to anxiety or uncertainty over actual or potential problems. But like Jairus, we've all had times in our lives where we've worried about something so much that we're overwhelmed by it. We tend to worry about the little things, and we definitely worry about the big things. There's this illusion that we have control over what happens next in our lives. And when that illusion is shaken, so are we. We worry because uncertainty threatens our peace of mind. It threatens our plans. It could mess up something that we've worked hard for. It leaves us feeling helpless and fooled when we believe for a better outcome, but we don't see it. Sometimes we're so worried we can't eat. Sometimes we can get so worried that we can't sleep. When John and I were in our early 20s, we were deeply familiar with the worry of finance. John and I were married just under 3 years, and we decided to move to Springfield, Missouri, so that John could complete his bachelor's degree in psychology at Evangel University. And he took classes full-time throughout the day, and then after his last class each day, he would change into his work clothes and go to work a full-time shift, second shift, at a behavioral health facility for teens and kids. He was accumulating that experience to work in that field. And as I was working full-time and he was working full-time, just 2 months into living in Springfield, we discovered that we could not afford the cost of living. We were worried. We were determined to stay long enough for John to finish his degree, so we had to make it work. So I started looking for a part-time job, just anywhere I could work for a second shift after my full-time job during the day. And, you know, we were younger, so sleep deprivation didn't hit so hard. We could handle it, like team no sleep. It's fine. Nowadays, not so much. So I started turning in applications, but it was when I started to turn in applications, that first week I was really looking for that part-time job, I started to feel extremely sick, very exhausted, and I didn't know what was going on. So after a little while of this happening, we found out that, surprise, I was pregnant. And I just remember holding the pregnancy test in my hand just shaking uncontrollably because I was so terrified. We had not planned for this. We knew that we wanted a family down the road sometime, but right now it was not in our plan to have kids. So if we weren't worried enough about our finances before, we were then. So Mark chapter 5, verse 22 tells us that Jairus was a synagogue leader. In historical context, the synagogue ruler was a highly respected Jewish official who helped to oversee the functioning of the synagogue, or the Jewish place of worship, including orderliness of services, maintenance of the Torah scrolls, and resolving community conflicts. Jairus would have intimately known the Jewish beliefs, and he was well respected by his community, and he would know what the other Jewish leaders thought of Jesus and Jesus's ministry. Just approaching Jesus was a risk for him that he could have worried about. But verse 22 also says that when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him. His daughter's life was worth the potential backlash he could have received for associating with Jesus. Jairus was also aware of Jesus' ministry and reputation, and with this crowd forming around him, this had to be the guy he had heard all about. This had to be Jesus. He was determined to push past the crowd to plead with him to come to his house. This conversation could potentially save the life of his 12-year-old daughter. And what we can learn from Jairus' first interaction with Jesus here is what worries us the most is exactly what we should take to Jesus. Why? Well, what was Jesus' response to Jairus? He went with him. They began to move through the crowd in the direction of Jairus' house. What a perfect illustration of God's character in this instance. Jairus went right up to Jesus in faith, and Jesus responds with faithfulness. Like, okay, Jairus, where to? Where are we going? I think sometimes we get afraid of what God's response is going to be if we run straight to him with our worry. It might be because we already have a vision for how we want God to respond to our requests for his intervention. And if he responds differently, or seemingly not at all in that moment we had scheduled for him to respond in, we throw our hands up and we count ourselves fooled. Like, I knew it was gonna happen. I knew he wasn't gonna hear me. And we tend to forget in those moments, the most worrisome of those moments, that we filter, or the filter we see things through is not his creator of the universe filter. There's more to the story that we're telling him that we don't know. And there's an ending to each story that only he can see. So what then? We get stuck with the worry instead, and we can't move forward. We can't move on, and we're completely distracted from what God could have given us in exchange for that what worry. We get stuck, and then we can't move through it. See, Jesus never promised us an easy life or a comfortable life. Following Jesus takes discipline. And Jesus even tells his disciples in John 16:33 that in this world you will have many trials and sorrows. Jairus and Jesus were on their way to Jairus' house when there was a pause in the journey, one that I'm sure Jairus did not anticipate happening. As they were moving through the crowd of people, Jesus suddenly asked, "Wait, who touched my robe?" His disciples were like, "Jesus, you're swimming through a crowd of people. How can you ask who touched me?" Or, "Seriously, Jesus?" But what Jesus felt was someone intentionally, with great faith, touch his robe with the belief that if they did, they would be healed. Jesus felt healing power transfer from him to someone else in that moment. There was a woman in this crowd who had been suffering for 12 years with an ailment that made her bleed nonstop. This woman believed that if she could just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his clothing, she would be healed. So when she made it to Jesus, she touched his robe, and Mark 5:29 tells us that she immediately quit bleeding and was healed of the condition. Praise God. Amazing faith met with God's faithfulness. But Jairus, I'm sure, is anxious to get to his house. He wants to get moving again, and his daughter doesn't have long. And now he's had confirmed right in front of him that this for sure is the guy who he thinks he is. This is Jesus, and he's someone who can save his daughter's life if he can just get him to his house. But then while Jesus was speaking with the woman, Mark 5:35 tells us that messengers arrived from Jairus' home. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher now. Your only daughter died, Jairus. You're too late. There's no hope. Don't bother Jesus anymore." Then Mark 5:36 says, "But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, 'Don't be afraid, just have faith.'" This is a good reminder for us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus through it all and allow the rest of it to all fade into the background. We may not be unstoppable in our hustle, but he is unstoppable in his. And he's not leaving us when we walk with him. You see, bad news doesn't mean Jesus is no longer there or has decided to not help. There's a part two to that verse from earlier where Jesus tells the disciples that there's going to be trouble in this world. Immediately after he tells them that, he says, "But take heart, because I have overcome the world." Whatever it is that you're facing now, it doesn't get the power to overcome you in the end when you've given it to Jesus, because Jesus has already overcome it. When we go to Jesus with the worry, we're able to move through toward what's next, even if we can't comprehend what is next. Remember, we're not unstoppable, but he is. Sometimes what's next may not even seem to be what you prayed for. It might be the opposite of what you prayed for. It might just be plain unfair. But the difference is that we're not experiencing it alone, and we have an omniscient, loving God who is leading us through it to the outcome he can already see. Like I said, I was terrified when I found out I was pregnant. And I was very overwhelmed with, I don't know the first thing about being a mom right now. I might work in early childhood education, but I don't know what happens when we send the kids home at night. I was overwhelmed. But at the same time, I was overjoyed because I loved the thought of having a baby. We wanted to have kids someday. It's just coming sooner than we thought it would. And that joy made me think, you know, we need to surrender this worry to God. And John and I decided that. We're like, we need to give this worry over to God and not focus on this worry. We need to focus on what's going to happen next. We started to envision what a family of three would be like, what it would be like to have a nursery in our home and have a baby with us in restaurants, not recommended, and then have a baby, you know, at church with us. We couldn't know what would happen next. But my preschool didn't accept infants, so we had to figure that out. And I was so sick that I could barely work the full-time job I was at, so I quit looking for a part-time job. And, you know, we didn't know anyone around us either. Family was states away. We didn't have any friends near us. We didn't know anyone. It was just us in our little apartment. And to be honest with you, I was pretty depressed and confused and lonely. John and I hardly saw each other throughout the week, so we did make that decision to stay in church every Sunday. We wanted to be there attending together, and every weekend we were there. And when we were looking for a church, we wanted to make sure it was a church that had a lot of next-gen programming. This was going to be the church that we raised our baby in, so we had to go check out the nursery, scope out the preschool, look at the programming. Like, moms, we need a cute nursery to go drop our kids off to. Love our nursery here. So we didn't make any connections, but we were faithful in our attendance and in our giving. And we shifted from that spot of worry to a little bit of hopefulness. It turned to peace and in trusting God. Soon after, God started to financially show up for us. And we didn't know how, but suddenly we were able to pay rent without worrying about it. Doctor's appointments I would go to expecting a copay didn't have a copay. And every little and big financial event like that mattered. After we were deciding to give our worry over to God and we were praying for him to come through for us, we would notice the ways that he was coming through for us. We would notice the way he was showing up. We had family members and random people we hardly knew send us money. We never reached out or asked for anything. They just started to send us things because they felt like they were supposed to. And God was moving us through that situation. We just had to hang on and trust him. So the messengers who came to Jairus with this news of his daughter passing away, they messed up. It wasn't that they misinformed Jairus. His daughter had died. What they shouldn't have told Jairus, though, was to not bother Jesus anymore. See, by saying this, they showed us that in their minds they had limited Jesus in what he can do. They either didn't know or didn't believe, but in verse 36, Jesus is quick to correct them by telling Jairus to not be afraid and have faith. Because of his faithfulness and his love for us, we have this incomparable gift of hope when we walk with Jesus, because he does the impossible. We can't put a limit on what Jesus can do. Mark 5:38 says that when Jesus and his disciples came to Jairus' home, there was a lot of commotion and weeping. Jesus then went inside and said, the child isn't dead, she's only asleep. The crowd gathered at the house scoffed at him because they knew she had died. So he made them all leave. Then he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples that were with him into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, little girl, get up. And this 12-year-old girl immediately stood to her feet and walked around the room. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jairus' faith met with God's faithfulness. The messengers and the scoffers at Jairus' house were not allowed to get in the way of Jairus' faith or limit what Jesus was set out to do because Jesus is unstoppable. If we were to make a bold statement declaring our understanding of what we need to do to get what we need from Jesus, it might look like this, and this is in the blue box on your notes. It says, I won't get stuck in worry when I move through with faith in Jesus. Now remember, when I said earlier that we don't always get the outcome we envision when we trust God with our worries, or we just don't get the outcome that we envision at all. Well, about 12 weeks into that pregnancy, I felt like something was wrong. And I tried to tell myself, you know, I think I'm just starting to feel better because I'm going into my second trimester. You're supposed to feel better. I've never done this before, so I don't know what it's supposed to be like. But soon after I started feeling that way, we went in for our first ultrasound. And I remember walking into the room with that fear in the back of my mind, but hopefulness at the front. And looking at our baby on the screen for the first time. But as soon as I looked at the screen, I saw the ultrasound technician's face. And I knew that something was wrong. Everything wasn't okay. And I asked her. And we found out in that moment that our baby had stopped growing 2 weeks prior, and our baby did not have a heartbeat. I felt grief sink low into my soul for the first time. Every hope and vision that we were envisioning for our family was ripped away from us in that moment. There was not going to be a first word or a first step. I wouldn't get to discover what their personality would be like. There was no putting a baby in the nursery at church. There was no completing a nursery at home. It was just taken from us. And I couldn't understand why this was allowed to happen. But because we chose to serve a God who could take our previous worry in exchange for his peace, we could also count on him to walk through this grief with us and eventually give purpose to the pain we are experiencing. We could know that he would be with us because that's God's character. He brings comfort to the brokenhearted. And when we have a personal relationship with Jesus, we learn that this is his character through doing things like reading his word. We find stories of Jesus and his love for people throughout the gospel. We spend time in prayer with him, and I just want to challenge you to get alone with God, not here today, somewhere else, sometime this week. Get alone with God and just pray and just be in his presence. Read his word, listen to some worship music, and just know his love for you in that moment. See what it does. See how it changes your life. We can recognize the way he's already showing up for us. Sometimes it's a mindset shift that we need to understand how God is already taking care of us. See, in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Also, Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And when I think about crushed spirit, I remember God showing up for me even as a kid, going through my parents' divorce and going through some hardships as a child and teenager. When my spirit was crushed, I knew I could call on the name of the Lord. I could call on Jesus, and there he was with me. After that year in Springfield, we made our way back here to Wisconsin because just admit it, Wisconsin's better. I love living here. this year in 2024, our baby would have been 12 years old. And while I can only wonder what life would have been like with that child for Nora and Levi to have an older sibling, I can take comfort in knowing that they're with Jesus now and they'll never have to experience the pain of this world. This experience, though, has allowed me to grieve with other women who I talk with, have experienced this, or are going through it. I can sit with them in their grief. I can talk with them and listen to them. I know how to pray for them. God gives purpose to what we surrender to Him. And maybe there's something in your life that has happened that you think about constantly, a worry that you can't let go of. Is it maybe finances, or maybe something in a relationship with someone where you can't find peace? Maybe it's something related to your health. God's just waiting for you to come to Him with it. There's not a thing you carry in your spirit that He doesn't want surrendered to Him. Not one thing. So don't be like the messengers who came to Jairus and try to limit what Jesus can do. Guys, He's unstoppable. And the more we lean into that truth with raw and filtered things in our life, the better it is when He shows up in His faithfulness. It's in our weakness that He gets to show up strong. So how do we not get stuck with worry? We can know that God cares for us and can see the whole picture. He's the one who is in control and knows what happens next. We only get stuck when we decide to hold on to our worry and not trust God with it. Remember, Jesus offers to take our worries in exchange for His guidance to what He has for us next. So don't slow yourself down. Hustle after Jesus, because it's time to move through it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for being here with us today. God, we thank You for this message of hope in the midst of our worry. God, I pray that all of us here who have some sort of worry that we're holding on to, Lord, You would help us hand that worry over to You. God, don't let us hold on to it anymore. I pray for complete surrender for those who are needing to surrender worry today. God, give us Your freedom. Let us walk around in Your freedom as we walk with You. Father, I thank You for the hope that You give us in Your Son, Jesus. I thank You for this new life we get to live as new creations. You have plans for us. You have purpose for our life. You can give purpose to whatever it is that we surrender to You. You're a creator that loves us unconditionally. God, You meet us where we're at. Your love comes to us without the terms and conditions. So Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here in this room today holding back, or there's something holding them back from experiencing your love, God, I pray that You would dismiss the things that are not of You in Jesus' name. Father, we give these things over to You. We give our worry over to You. We're excited for what You have for us next. God, I pray that for Your joy. God, some of us haven't experienced Your excitement and joy in a long time because we're so overwhelmed with worry. God, I pray that we would get to experience Your joy and excitement for what it is that You have for us. It's not over. God, You're unstoppable. We get to serve and follow a God who's unstoppable. God, help us realize that. Father, we love You. We give this all over to You. We give You the glory in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning of my message today, I told you I would give you an opportunity to receive the hope that we find in Jesus. And right now, we're getting ready to pray a prayer together. All together as the Focus, all Focus Church family, because we don't pray alone here at Focus Church. I'm going to pray a prayer in bite-sized pieces, and I'm going to have you repeat them back to me. But this prayer we pray to say, you know, I am tired of trying to do life alone. I'm tired of not walking with Jesus and just surrendering it all to Him. This is when we go all in and say, Jesus, I need You to be the leader of my life. I recognize that I'm designed to do life with You leading it. I recognize that I'm created for You to be my Savior. So if that's you here today, I just ask that you pray that prayer in your spirit as you pray it out loud with us. And it goes like this: Dear God, I'm sorry for all the wrong that I've done. I need you to be in charge of me. I believe that you loved me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. Help me. Bring me freedom. Give me peace. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.